pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, all you do is text me. Coming up on the program here, Pam Casey in about a half hour. She is the Blount County District Attorney, but also formerly a candidate for Attorney General, has since supported Jay Mitchell. We'll hear from her at the bottom of the hour. John Wall, a candidate for lieutenant governor, will also be with us. That's in the 11 o'clock hour, so please make sure you stay tuned for that. Mike writes this: it didn't make me happy when BB told Trump to kick rocks. When he was told to stop their land grab and killing on people in Lebanon, and I didn't like Trump calling BB a blanking tard who should be in prison if it weren't for Trump. It's a completely ridiculous and sad situation. And they leaked that out. It got leaked out by somebody. Because when I first saw it, I thought, did the Trump people want to send a clear message here to the base that, like, look, we're not getting bossed around by the Israeli government. We're doing our own thing here. We're doing what we think is in the best interest. You know, that's been the question, right? Are we just... Somebody said that Israel's seen as a proxy to us, but are we a proxy to Israel? And that's there's some domestic politics there. But could it have also have been put out in the media by the Israeli government? What would they have to gain from that? I don't know. Trump really is... I think the Trump administration is borderline panic mode here. This needed to be wrapped up about a month ago. And hasn't quite got there yet, has it? The economy, let's see, West Texas Intermediate at $91.63 a barrel. It's down a little bit. That's still, the ceiling needs to be about $90. That's what it is. Guys, I know we have talked about the possibility here of, you know, nuclear weapons on the port of Mobile or whatever. But the reality is that threat, even if it's the perception of people, it's not going to outweigh the price of gasoline. In the eyes of American voters, at least. You're not going to win the day talking about this abstract or whatever, whatever the reality is. And I have my doubts about the threat of nuclear war or nuclear weapons being used domestically on the United States. But people are more, you don't need a messaging strategy to show that gas is pushing $5 a gallon. So this is the CNN chyron for the last, like, couple of weeks. Start a war, price of gas $2.98 a gallon. Price of gas now $4.26 a gallon average. And then they're just going to run it on the loop. It's you don't, no fancy ads. Everybody buys gas. That's the messaging. And that's a problem. And I think at some point, you know, how will the Trump administration try to wind this down? Will we get a bad deal? That's what all the Democrats are saying. I don't buy this. This is the Chris Van Hollen, Hakeem Jeffries, that Iran is stronger now because of Trump. That's nonsense. That's crazy talk. We took out a lot of their military assets, and we took out like 90% of the leadership there. But people don't look at that. They're not looking at a weakened Iran. And, oh, I'm going to go out and vote. And they're going to the gas pump. They're paying, instead of $70 to fill up their tank, they're paying $100. That adds up. And I think we're going to see. We will see a little more of a sense of urgency here. They got to. (251) 343-0106 Mike also adds, I did find Tel Aviv Levin's absolute meltdown hilarious, though. Also today, California going to vote. And you probably, those of you who watch a lot of Fox News, are like, wow, Spencer Pratt's going to be the next mayor of L.A. Probably not. A lot of my L.A. guys don't even know that he'll make the runoff. They question the wisdom of going on the gut-filled Fox News show and the Bill Maher podcast. Is that the best way to reach voters in Los Angeles? Then also there's the gubernatorial primary. They do it, jungle primary, all the parties together. So we're waiting to see what's going to happen there. They said 251-343-0106. That's the text line. But Steve Hilton, I don't know, the guy who had the Sunday night show on Fox, former Thatcher aide, and Spencer Pratt, we're getting inundated in conservative media with those two. They're doing better than expected. And, you know, Los Angeles, a couple of years removed from the wildfires. I think Karen Bass is in trouble. She's just turned out not to be a great mayor. It's very interesting to me in that one. How the national politics really aren't as prevalent in California. Yes, there's always this persistent Trump derangement syndrome everywhere. But in California, they're less concerned about that because Republicans are performing better than they historically do. Now, there's more money behind it, more enthusiasm, more of this sort of like manufacturing, trying to manufacture some kind of enthusiasm from the conservative media nationally there. But what if, for example, Fox News had Barry Moore on every day? Or John Wall? Or Wes Allen? Or whoever? What if that was just like a daily thing? Then you'd probably see a bump out of it. But it's interesting because Alabama is my gripe, you know, the Fox Newsification of our local politics, and everybody was looking at the Trump endorsement. What does that mean? You know, what's more valuable? Katie Britt's endorsement or Donald Trump's endorsement, as we talked about in the last hour. Essentially, Donald Trump's not really even a factor in California. Tim, Jeff, I put 3/4 tank to fill up my diesel truck. Cost me $108. Ouch, I'm ready to push the big red button. Well, how does that impact your voting behavior, Tim? I think, for the most part, Alabama, we're still going to vote Republican. We're sort of gasoline proof that the electorate is there. But nationally, it is having an impact. And, it, you know, just marginally, even in local races, it's just, it's another talking point for the Trump derangement syndrome crowd. By the way, while we're talking about the Alabama poll real quick, Jay Mitchell was first out of the gate here with just hammering the poll, calling it voter suppression. Maybe that's a rallying cry. Hey, they're trying to keep you away from the polls. You need to be out. Make sure you come out and vote for me. I don't think it's a 19-point race for the AG. Also, we followed the Grand Platner in Maine. They've thrown everything at him they possibly can. And he's there. He is. He's still there. He's still hanging with Susan Collins. Susan Collins, who is always perpetually every cycle in trouble, going to lose his seat. What it's done, though, he's a toxic candidate. It's forced. I mean, who's it? Cory Booker in New Jersey. And well, you know, it's better to go with him. The Trump's so bad that we'll go with the Nazi tattoo, icky photo guy. True story. I mean, that's what they're saying. They're going on television. They're talking about it. So, you know, Democrats got a Platner problem, and I don't know how Republicans can use that to their advantage. He's hardly the poster child for the Democratic Party, but still making a lot of headlines. Text line 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
They say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this a Tuesday morning. Hard to keep track of the days when you're on the go here. Still to come in the next segment, Pam Casey will be with us. Please make sure you stay tuned for that. Jason, diesel is down $1.10 from where it was 3 weeks ago on a positive note. Interesting. but it's still higher than you would like, though, right? DI texture. Baggett would love for Plattner for love Plattner for it if he hadn't covered up the tattoo. Is that true? He's your guy. He's your Democrat, DI texture. You got to own him. Sorry, I don't make the rules here. Start running as a Republican. You guys have your own Roy Moore. And I imagine him as a United States Senator. I mean, that's who the people of Maine want. But we do this every cycle, right? We always have Susan Collins is in trouble. There's a lot of enthusiasm for a Graham Plattner. Where does that come from? She's like your establishment business community candidate, and he's like the man of the people. I mean, she's been in the United States Senate forever. Does that have something to do with it? Does that create a problem? But she always, it's interesting to me, as soon as he secures a nomination, then we start unloading the oppo. Schumer had his own candidate. It was the crazy Janet Mills governor that got confrontational with Trump. And she didn't win. We got Bernie Sanders, AOC. Is this a prelude for what we might expect in the elections for Democrats? Maybe it won't involve icky photos and it won't involve Nazi tattoos, but there's the grassroots here in the Democratic Party. That they want something different. The people who are going out and wearing penis costumes on the side of the road types, they don't want your AI-generated Democrat. We haven't had this fight in the Democratic Party. It's now their turn . The Republicans had it. They had it with the whole MAGA wave. They had it with the Tea Party wave to some degree. And he had some candidates, the Sharon Angle, I don't know, the just weren't electable. But the Democrats were pretty much handed, here's your marching orders and be good little troopers. It's for the good of the collective, not the good of you. And that's where we are with it. So I'm eager to see how this plays out. Or could it be just kind of a false flag thing? Roy Moore, even Republicans didn't want him in the Senate, so they were helping Doug Jones. Sometimes happens. But this is Maine's version of that. And if you look at it county by county, I mean, Susan Collins ought to win this thing. There's this thing going on in America where probably a lot of people vote Republican but don't talk about voting Republican. It's different from Alabama. 251-343-0106. A DI texture, Plattner's yours. You own him. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. 501-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me, and we'll proceed from there. Still to come on the program, Joe Wall, candidate for lieutenant governor. Please make sure you stay tuned for that. Have a little technical difficulties here. I think we got it fixed, though. Joining us now on the line, she was a candidate for attorney general, but she is now the Blount County District Attorney, or still is the Blount County District Attorney. But Pam Casey has joined us on the line. Pam, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Actually, been in court this morning. So going back, you know, life's picking right back up.
Well, if you would, talk to us a little bit about the what happened in your race and sort of, where you go from here.
Well, yeah. So, you know, we felt like we had an excellent showing. Granted, we spent $200,000 and had 25% of the vote, which showed that we, number one, had a really strong grassroots campaign out there. And we also worked really hard to pull that vote in. And so, you know, we're very pleased with our turnout. Appreciate all your listeners that voted for me. I appreciate their putting their trust in me. And, I took about a week off after I say week off, went back to work the next morning. But, took a little bit of time down, and my husband and I evaluated the race and kind of the things we looked at. And, you know, we made the decision that I would endorse Jay Mitchell. And really that's based on just the influx of the money that came into this race that I consider to be the dark money that, appears to kind of go around the rules that we've set in place or laws in the state of Alabama. And, you know, I'm just not happy with the fact that millions of dollars can come into a race through 504s, and you really don't know where it's coming from.
Well, and so, it wasn't necessarily an ideological thing or something. It was more of a that. The people back in Catherine Robertson, and we don't know what kind of coordination was going on there or not, but it was just sort of that's what kind of swung it in your direction for Jay Mitchell.
Well, two things. Number one, Jay and his that's been very kind to me and my family on the road. I mean, just an upstanding team that they have right there. And number two, you know, Jay's actually been in a courtroom. He's actually has legal experience, served on the Alabama Supreme Court. And those are things that I think is key if you're talking about making decisions in that office as it relates to litigation going on with the state. And also, you know, the criminal aspect of, and to me, people want to push it aside and pretend like the AG's office does more than criminal work. Their main thing is handling the appeals in the state of Alabama. They handle every criminal appeal in the state of Alabama. They handle the death penalty cases. It should be someone who's walked into a courtroom and actually litigated a case. And Jay and myself were the only ones who had actually done that. And that the litigation experience, along with all the money that's flooded into this race that we can't really tie down, that was my reasons for endorsing Jay.
Let's go back to the money for a moment and talk a little bit about that. The money, what do you think they were, what do you think the objective was there? If you had to guess or speculate, why Catherine Robertson, or was there, you know, a policy agenda that was promoting this or behind this?
Yeah, and that's what I'm not sure. I'm not sure why. I mean, if you know, I've heard rumor, oh, Leonard Leo is giving me the money, or he's behind it, or Raga, then, you know, put that on your contribution forms. Who put that money into those account, those businesses or 501c4s that were set up literally within the last year, and then that money put into the account? Who put that money in? That's a question that every voter should be asking. Who put the money into these LLCs or 501c4s, who put that money in there? And why would they not just write the check directly to a candidate so that that person's name goes onto a form? That's a big issue for me. And Alabama voters, whether it's in this race or any other race in the state, we should be appalled that there are people out there who will not put their name on a contribution form.
Well, because in federal races, they have limits on how much you can give to an individual campaign.
Right.
In state, it's different. So what would be the motivation to go through a third party, I guess, is the question.
And that's what I think the answer needs to be. I think every voter should say, answer the question. Answer that question. Why? Every voter should be screaming to the top of their lungs, we will not let you rent out or sell the attorney general's office.
Well, let me ask you, what's the remedy then? Is it because I'm starting to hear a little bit of chatter, you know, especially with some of these legislative seats and what we could trace to, you know, sports betting and these like DraftKings kind of entities, right, that maybe there needs to be another layer of transparency somehow there.
Absolutely. And I think we need to. I think, you know, Speaker Ledbetter has been talking about how we keep out dark money. I think Senator Orr, if I'm correct, has talked about that as well. And I think the legislature needs to get together and say, what are we going to do to prevent people from essentially flooding? Because what do you really, every legislator, every elected official should be concerned that somebody could walk in and literally flood their race with money and nobody knows where it comes from. So we've got to create some type of transparency. And, you know, we think we have that with our campaign finance laws, but apparently there's a loophole, and certain people find the loophole and they exploit it, and they exploit it to the detriment of Alabama voters.
Right. And so I guess that you've got to disclose it somehow. Can you do that at a state level even, or would these third parties, we don't operate within Alabama, or how would you enforce it even?
Yeah, I think that's why they're doing it like it is. You can't really, you know, it wouldn't bother me, Jeff, if, you know, Johnny Smith's hamburger joint, who's been in business for, you know, 20 years in Virginia, decided they were going to give a candidate $1 million. Good for Johnny Smith's hamburger joint, right? It's when you go and you can look at the records and see that these organizations were set up within weeks or months of the contribution. And then there's $1 million, $100,000, $200,000 going into campaign accounts. What message does that send? It sends the message that the sole purpose was to move money to avoid the identity of the person. I don't know the answer to that, but there's got to be one, or the people are going to be the ones in trouble.
Well, how much of this do you think? I mean, in the grand scheme of things, could you assign a vote total or a percentage? I mean, do you think it really impacts the electorate?
Well, let's look at this. Oh, absolutely. Let's look at this. I got 25% of the vote with $200,000. Had I flooded the market with $3 million of dark money, we would have had a runoff. And we wouldn't have had a runoff, because you could tell that had I had more outside in terms of media purchases, this race would be over. Because people would say, well, I haven't heard of you. Well, I don't have the money, and I'm not taking dark money. I'm not taking money from people who want to go set something up. So, I think that's huge. And the ability of somebody to buy, you know, $1 million or $2 million in a media buy, then absolutely it affects the electorate.
Well, now that you've done this, you've run statewide, you've been from one end of the state to the other. You know, that's Alabama. I've always described it as sort of tribalistic in a way, the differences in the different parts of the state and overcoming that. I mean, did you encounter that? I mean, now that you've seen it and now that you kind of you've had a chance for it to kind of marinate here, you know, where do you? People like to focus on Birmingham a lot of times, and that's where they try to win an entire state election. I mean, what were your expectations going into this and now coming out of it?
Well, you know, we knew that, you know, that kind of everything was stacked against us in terms of the fundraising. We saw that pretty quickly. And so we knew that we had to make connections. Look, I would not definitely just focus on North Alabama. South Alabama, I made good connections in Mobile, Baldwin County, great people, huge electric down there. And so I made connections with every corner of the state. I felt very good about my relationships and ongoing relationships with people I still have who've reached out, hey, what you doing for something else or this or that. And so, you know, that's something for another day. I don't know that I have that in me, but they all say nobody runs again. It's kind of like telling a woman who has a baby says she's never going to have another, you know. So, you know, I wouldn't focus just on North Alabama. Now, that's where a majority of the population is, just the way it is. But no, I enjoyed my time going across the state. I believe that God had a plan for me in this, and we'll see how that unfolds in the future.
Well, on the policy and the stuff you talked about on the campaign trail, you put a real big focus on, hey, I'm the prosecutor. I spend time in the courtroom. I know the trenches. I know the battlefields. And, you know, then there's other, some of it's policy as far as immigration goes or dealing with the federal government and things like that when you run for attorney general. I mean, does something like that resonate more than the other?
You know, at the end of the day, I think if you were to poll the people, and I think they have been polling the people, if you said, look, I need to know one thing that matters the most to you, and that is this, I think everybody would say, or 90% of the people would say, when I go to bed at night, I want to know that I can sleep safely in my bed without the worry of a violent offender coming into my home, and I want to know that my children are safe. And I believe that the number one priority in this state, while we do want to fight illegal immigration, we do want to make sure there's no federal overreach, we want to know that we're safe in our beds at home, in our home, our castle, where we call, home with our children and our families. And you know, to have an attorney general that had that experience, I think, was a turning point for a lot of voters that voted for me. And now I would just ask them to look and see that the only other person that's actually been in the courtroom who can actually discuss policy as it relates to being on the front lines would be Jay. In terms of actually being on the court, handling those cases, and doing the work.
Well, as far as Judge Mitchell goes here, and you know, I don't even want to think of these polls that have been coming out showing him down, but he did have a gap, about a
29%.
Yeah, 29,000 votes or so in the primary. What would you say to him? What does he need to do to close that gap?
Yeah, I just think Jay needs to be himself. I think that he's working on that, getting out the message of who he is. And also, you know, I ask my voters to trust me in making the decision for Jay and for Justice Mitchell. And I think that's how you do it, is you be yourself. You tell the voters what you bring, and you make sure that you know, let them know that you're not bought and paid for. I think that's key. In this race. And I think if each voter listening to me will do the research, they will be concerned as I am about the money that came into the race.
And, you know,
I didn't harp on that during the election. I mean, I did a little, but I didn't really harp on that during the election about dark money, because we knew that was a battle we were facing. We faced it. I think we battled well against it, given, I mean, come on. I mean, 25% of the vote, I spent $200,000. That's pretty, I think that's a pretty dang good showing given the money.
Well, you think you would have done much better had you had a little bit more money backing you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, you know, that, and it gets back to kind of like this office and why are the, I don't know, we call them the big mules or these business interests or whatever, so invested in an attorney general's race when it is, I mean, there's a lot of things on the ballot, but an AG race can be very expensive.
It's the most expensive race that is in the history of that AG's office. And that tells me that, you know, is there something coming down the pipe in terms of business interests that need to be protected? You know, the AG is going to make that final call. The buck stops there at the desk, and they're going to make the final call on, you know, some businesses that they may pursue in terms of, for example, the Roblox stuff or the TikTok, any type of TikTok litigation. And so I think that that's why big business and big mules out of Washington care.
that's why you have these outside, and it really is. It's not as if the quote-unquote dark money is of Alabama. It is kind of from outside of Alabama.
It is. It is. You know, I've heard people say, like, we wish that politicians would wear sponsorships a lot like NASCAR, right? A car has, you know who's paying for it. If we walked around with our contributors on our jacket, you know, who would it be? We wouldn't really know in this race who or why. That is being put out there.
But you still think that when this race is going to be won or lost on, like, a criminal justice, public safety.
Absolutely. I think the people care too much about that. I think we care too much about, you know, I want my kids safe. You tell me right now, Pamela, there's something wrong with your kid, I'll hang out with you and I'll go to wherever they are. If you tell me right now somebody's breaking into your home, I'll hang out with you and I'll go wherever, I'll go home to figure out what's going on. There's not one person listening to this radio show right now who would not agree with me. You tell me something's wrong with my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my kids, my home, they care. And if they're going to rank, tell me that they rank that below illegal immigration, I just don't believe that. Now, do those worlds collide at times? Absolutely. We see a lot of violent offenses by illegal immigrants. We see violent offenses by Americans. But at the end of the day, we want to be safe, period.
Well, Pam, we got to leave it there. But thanks for hopping on, giving us kind of lay of the land.
Thank you, guys. I've enjoyed it, Jeff. I enjoyed meeting you, too. And I look forward to being on with you again down the road.
Absolutely. Pam Casey, ladies and gentlemen, Blount County District Attorney, formerly an AG candidate. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. To the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. If you so desire, hit me up there and we'll proceed accordingly. Mike, when I fill up my take, I'm reminded that the guys like Barry Moore run on America First. He really means American military contractors and is what Israelis want first. I don't think that's Barry Moore at all. I do think there's something going on here. Like, look, we can't. Donald Trump's our guy. Stick with him here. And if it were President Barry Moore, would he do it different? I don't know. But he's not the guy. I mean, he voted against the Ukraine funding, Mike. Remember, that was the big issue during the Jerry Carl Barry Moore race. And we don't know Jared Hudson completely on this. We know what he said, but he's also very, very supportive of Donald Trump on the Iran question. But we'll try to drill down on that a little more throughout these 2 weeks. A week from yesterday in Montgomery, I got to moderate a debate. So I'm making a trip to Montgomery, probably broadcast from some hotel room somewhere that morning, but we're going to put that on the topics, just sort of the handling of Iran with those U.S. Senate candidates and see where that is. Ultra Runner says, DEI texters' comments disgust me. I see that tattoo. I wonder how many Jews saw it before extermination. Don't understand the right as well as you think. Yeah, like, where did do we give him the benefit of the doubt on the Nazi tattoo? Yeah, I know he's a Democrat. Does he fully comprehend what that was when he got it? What was going on there? I think you vote against him because he's a lunatic, not because of his tattoo. I think you vote against him because he believes in some of these socialistic ideas. Now, the character stuff with the icky text, but I suspect that there are a lot of people who have known that they were always out there.
All right, let's take it on down.
It's the reverse Roy Moore. They like knew there was this oppo out there. They wanted him in the general because they thought he would be the easiest to beat.
Birmingham.
But there's an enthusiasm there that you can't deny, and I think Democrats are going to have to deal with that. More like of the Grand Platteners in the future. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Mr. T.